In today's gospel, St. Peter makes his profession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Somewhere along the line, I don't remember where, might have been a movie, might have been a book I read, this woman was being described. Somebody asked one of the other characters about this woman, who she was. And this was the way that she was described. She professes to be a Christian, but she lives as an atheist. She professes to be a Christian, but she lives as an atheist. In other words, she claimed to be a follower of Jesus, but in her life, she lived as if there was no God at all. Reminds us that description, that what defines us as people is what we do. We can talk a good talk, we can say lots of things, we can profess lots of things, but what shows who we really are is what we do. So you could profess faith in Jesus, but because of the way you live, really be proclaiming that for you, there is no God. And I think that's an important thing to understand as we look today at this great profession of faith that St. Peter makes in the gospel. Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, of course, professes, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But you know, when Jesus asked that question, "Who do you say that I am?" I really believe he's not just asking the apostles and Peter to identify his being, so to speak. What he's really asking them is this: who am I for you? What difference do I make in your life? Who do you really follow? Who do you say that I am by what you do? And we can understand that that's what Jesus really is asking when we look at the setting in which he asked this question. Caesarea Philippi was a great Roman city in the northern part of Palestine on the lakes of the Sea of Galilee, on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Very prosperous city. But it was an area that was totally immersed with all kinds of religious cults and temples and there were 14 temples alone in Caesarea Philippi dedicated to the Canaanite gods. There was a temple there to Aphrodite, the great Greek goddess of love. There was a temple there to the Roman emperor, who they believed was divine. There was a cave in the area that many people believed was where the god Pan, the god of nature, had been born. The whole area was rife with different religions, different faiths. And it's in that setting that Jesus says to the apostles, "Who do you say that I am? Who will you follow? Who will you give your life to? Me or one of those?" And you know, Jesus asked that same question to you and me. Who do you say that I am? Who do you show that I am for you by the way you live? Never mind what you say. Who do you show that I really am for you by the way that you live? Now, we don't worship false gods in the sense of saying, you know, I believe in that God or that God or that God. But we can follow false gods in other ways because of what we serve in our life, what is the center of our life, what determines what we do, what we choose, how we choose to live. We can serve false gods that way without even realizing it. We can serve the god of money. We can serve the god of popularity. We can serve the god of power. We can serve the god of pleasure. Any or all of those things could become what we base our life on. Even though Jesus has warned us about that. Remember for example, the parable he tells in the scripture about the farmer who has a great harvest. He has a wonderful, bountiful harvest, more than he ever expected. He has to build new barns to store all of his harvest. And at the end of it all, he sits back and he says, "This is wonderful. I've got many, many good things for many years to come." And in the story, Jesus says to him, "You fool, tonight your soul will be required of you." Who was he serving? Money, his goods. Popularity. How many people do all kinds of things to be well thought of, to be popular? Remember in the scripture again, Jesus points out some of the Pharisees. Pharisees wore big leather phylacteries, they were called, little cases on their foreheads in which were pieces of scripture. They had tassels that they reached down to touch the ground as a sign of their humility. And they loved to be recognized for their piety. Jesus, they loved to be popular, so to speak. Jesus looks at them and says, "You hypocrites, you have your reward." Or power. Jesus says in the scripture someplace, "The rulers of this world lorded over their subjects." People who are in positions of prominence like to control other people, force them to do what they want them to do. But he says to his followers, that's not the way it should be among you. For you, the greatest among you will be the one who serves other people the best, one who lays down your life for other people, not controls them, who lays down your life for them. Or pleasure. Remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? There's the rich man sitting at his sumptuous table every day, eating, dressed in beautiful clothes. Doesn't even see the beggar Lazarus. He goes to hell. Had all the pleasure in the world. So what? So the question for you and me is, you know, what God do we really serve? Does money or power, pleasure, popularity, is that what we want for ourselves? Is that what controls us? Not in what we say, but in what we do. I'd like to offer you one other false god that I think is much a part of our world today. It is the god of vengeance. God of revenge, people who live to take vengeance and revenge on their enemies. Do you ever think about road rage? What is road rage? Somebody cut you off, You're going to get back at that person somehow. You're going to get back at them. How many accidents are caused? Deaths by road rage. Revenge. We see it in the wars between countries, don't we? Generation after generation after generation of Arab and Jew, for example. They can't forgive each other. They keep feeding off of the past. It just continues a cycle of killing and violence. See it in politics. Maybe I'm naive, but it seems to me when I was growing up, you'd always see the Republicans and the Democrats disagreeing with one another over policies, and they'd fight over, programs and things. But they didn't consider each other enemies. Today, that's not the case. If you're in the other party, you're an enemy. Somebody to be beaten down and somebody for me to take revenge on. If you've done something in my mind to hurt me, I'm going to get back at you. I'm going to get you. Let me just warn you about this, my brothers and sisters. No country can survive that way. If that's the way we look at one another and treat one another, we won't survive as a nation. We won't. Revenge in families. There was a movie that came out a number of years ago. It was kind of a black comedy called The War of the Roses. The Roses were a married couple, Oliver and Patricia Rose. They get married. You see them at the beginning of their marriage, lovey-dovey, everything's wonderful. But over the years, bit by bit, they begin to pick on each other's weak spots and respond to one another's failures, You hurt me, I hurt you. You hurt me, I hurt you more. I hurt you more, I hurt you more. Until at the end of the movie, what they do kills each other. That's what happens with revenge and vengeance. When that's our God, when that's why we make our decisions, that's what happens. You might say to me, well, doesn't the Bible say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Yeah, we do find that in the book of Genesis, Moses' laws to the people. But we have to understand what Moses was trying to do. In those days, in that culture, if somebody did something to you or to a member of your family, you'd do twice as bad back to them. Wouldn't just be somebody, somebody, say, killed a member of your tribe, you'd kill three members of their tribe in revenge. So what Moses is trying to do by putting that law down is limit violence. You can't, if somebody does something to you, all you can do is repay them in kind. You can't go further than that. He was trying to limit violence. But here's the important thing for us. When Jesus comes along, what does Jesus say about all that? Jesus says, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, referring to that old teaching. But then Jesus says, but I say to you, if somebody strikes you on the left cheek, turn the right to them as well. If somebody forces you to go a mile with them, go 2 miles. In other words, Jesus says, no response in violence, no response in vengeance. Because he knows that just leads to more vengeance, more violence. Only way you can stop violence is through mercy and love. You have to stop it in its tracks right there. The only way that can work. Very difficult for us to do, but that's what Jesus says we're called to do. So again, if any of us lives by vengeance, that's how we make our decisions. I'm getting back, Don't get mad, get even. Revenge is sweet. Not for followers of Jesus. So as we gather here today, let's ask ourselves the question. Like St. Peter, who died for his faith, like St. Paul, who died for his faith, who died for Jesus. Who are we? Who is Jesus for us? Is he truly the Son of God on whom we base our lives? Or do we have other gods we serve without even recognizing it? Is Jesus our God, or do we have other gods that we truly serve by what we actually do day by day? May God bless you.